experience happened this week. Wanted to share it with you. It happened Thursday. I don't know. It was a little after 5 o'clock, I think, or whatever. I had two youngest grandchildren, and I decided to go pick chestnuts. I was talking to Walt Baer, and Walt Baer said he's never had so many chestnuts as he has this year. And the trees that I get them from, I have never seen so many. A lot of fat squirrels running around, and they can't even eat them all, I don't think. So I was sitting down there on the bank, kind of like, and the kids were in the chestnut burrs, and let them get picked up, not me. And they were getting handfuls of chestnuts and bringing them to me. And again, I was putting them there in a bag. And I get a phone call, and it says unknown, and I know it's somebody calling the church. And it, again, if you call the church, it comes over to my phone if we're not here. And so, like I said, it came over to my phone. It said unknown. I picked it up, and a man said something like, hey, I was just reading my Bible, just reading some things, and I was just reading it, and boy, I read something I didn't understand. I wonder if I could ask you something, because I'm really interested in knowing the answer. And I'm like, okay. And then he said, well, how come, and your church believes in a Trinity, right? How come you guys believe in a Trinity when in the Bible it says that there's only one God? You know, and I started to answer him. And as soon as I started to answer him, he came back in and kind of said, well, don't you know that the Bible says over here that, and he read a verse. And then I tried to answer again. I started to say something. He came, well, I guess you don't know the Bible says over here in this verse. And so, you know, I was just kind of there and I was quiet for a minute. And I tried to answer again and he did it again. And I don't know how it went, but I said, here's what I'm bothered by, sir. Number one, the premise of your home phone call was a lie. You weren't just reading your Bible and came into something that you don't understand. So you lied to me the first thing you said to me. Second of all, do you know who Bill Riley is? Bill Riley is. Hey, is that guy on TV? I said, are you his brother? Because every time he asks a question and somebody starts to give an answer, he walks all over them and yells at them. Now, I like Bill O'Reilly, but he does it. Now, I wish sometimes he'd let people answer just because I want to hear what people's answers are. Okay? I said, you might be his brother. And I said, if Jesus is not part of the Trinity and God, then in your opinion, who is he? And he goes, well, you're right, he's not God. And I kind of basically said, this phone call's over. Wow. Now, I tell people that, you know, there are doctrines that we have, okay, and they seem so mundane to us. Like, we know there's a Trinity, so what's the difference? Folks, you get rid of the Trinity, what's left? You're left with a man named Jesus who's either a liar or a lunatic. Am I right about that? Because he said what? I am God. All right? So again, so what your three choices are, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord, right? And so if you deny that he's Lord and that he's God himself, then either he's just a lunatic that thought he was God when he wasn't, or he knew he wasn't, and he's just a big liar, okay? So again, if somebody says, well, what difference does it make whether we believe in a Trinity or not? It really does, folks, all right? Because when you get to heaven, you know, it's believing in Jesus and who he is, okay? And again, if you would say to me, well, Pastor, why did you just kind of stop the call real quick? Well, was it over in books of John and the epistles of John? You know, if anybody comes to you and brings not this doctrine, okay, don't bid him into your house, neither bid him what? Godspeed. And it was time to get over when he did not believe that Jesus was God. So I think it's funny, though, whenever I get a phone call from an unknown source or whatever, you know why they do that, don't you? So you can't call them back later, you know. So it was all set up or whatever. But I just wanted to bring across to you, folks, that, again, some of the doctrines that we have, and maybe I don't preach on them enough, or maybe I need to preach them a little louder or whatever. Folks, it is a Trinity, and Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit, what? And if the man would have given me time, and maybe I need a little help with Bible things, but I don't have everything memorized. But folks, there are definite verses in the Bible that say the Holy Spirit is God, and Jesus is God, and the Father is God, okay? Again, one nature, three persons. That's theological talk, okay? Did you like that, doctrines or whatever? But it's one nature, three persons, and how it's all put together, kind of a mystery to me. And even though I can't explain it fully, I do believe it. How about you? Okay, and so if that was you on the phone and I cut you off, I just said we're done. But again, it was not just a random call. He was just trying to do things or whatever and push his agenda. And like I said, I believe in a triune God. I'm not going to back down from it. But it was time to end the phone call. So Bill Riley does have a brother. I met him, okay? And that's how it goes there, whatever. All right, I want to give you, again, eight things, and maybe there's more. I'm not sure. But I want to give you 8 reasons, basically, why God doesn't answer prayer. And here's my thought, okay? And this is really where I am, okay? Folks, when I need to pray, and I don't know, you know, that's like every other week, okay? That's like all the time. But you understand, when I need to pray for me, for you, when I need to get to God's throne and get a prayer request heard and answered, I want to make sure what? It got there, okay? I told somebody in the last 2 weeks something has happened on my phone that's never happened since I've had it or whatever, okay? But what's happened is people text me and I don't get it right away. It takes hours, okay? Yesterday my brother texted me around 9 o'clock. Again, he had stayed at my house on Friday. He and his wife were at my house on Friday, and I'd gotten up 5:30 in the morning and left for men's breakfast, and so I did not see them off in the morning, but he just texted me to say, hey, thanks for letting us stay at the house last night. We had a great time and we're on our way. And yesterday when I got home from the game, as I walked in the house, my phone whistled at me, okay? And so I picked it up, and there's my brother when he left the text at, 9:06, saying, hey, thanks for letting us sleep here. And I got it, 9 hours later. Now, if anybody knows why my phone is doing that, let me know, because in the last week it's happened a couple times. That's just to tell you, folks, if you text me and I don't answer you back, see, it's not my fault. Okay? Okay, always a reason, always an excuse, right? But, folks, I don't want that when it comes to going to God in prayer. I don't want to call at 9 o'clock and don't get an answer until somewhere before 5. That's not good enough. How many of you think that's pretty good communication to heaven? That, you know what, I called God at 9 in the morning and he put me on hold until 5. And I'm okay with that. You know, there are some requests, folks, that if you call at 9, at 9:05, it's already too late. Ask Peter when he's sinking in the water. Okay? It's too late. So I want to make sure that my communication line between myself and God is clear and open. How many of you think that's what you want? Now, if you're saying, well, Pastor, I could care less if God hears my prayers, then this sermon is not for you. Okay? It's not for you at all. I want to make sure. And so I've come up with some reasons. I heard a seminar where at KCA, I found another one and put it in here, so I almost need to text the man back that I took some of his notes, added verses to it and different things, and say, hey, I found another one. Maybe you want this, but that would sound like his seminar wasn't good enough when it really was. But again, reasons why God doesn't answer prayer. Folks, this is what I'm going to tell you right now. Right now, if I were to ask you, list reasons why God doesn't answer prayer, maybe some of you could come up with the whole list. You're not going to find something in this list that is like, wow, I never knew that. Boy, these are very obvious verses, principles in the Bible why God doesn't answer prayer. Let's have a word of prayer. And again, if God doesn't hear our prayers now, then hopefully we hear reasons why he's not, and we'll get that fixed by the end of the service. Father, I pray we need you right now. Lord, if our prayers are only going as far as the ceiling, and Lord, they need to be wiped off before we leave because they're just dirtying up the place, Lord, I ask that you would help us to realize what we need to do to get these communication lines open to you now. Because, Lord, there's people we know that need your help right now. Lord, there's needs in my life and the people that are here, and these needs need to be heard and met right now. And, Lord, we want to know that, again, our prayers are entering heaven's gates and going right up to your throne, right to your ears, Lord, so that you'll answer us. Lord, help us with these verses to understand the principles, and, Lord, then to change our lives and live accordingly, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The list is pretty easy. Number one reason why our prayers don't get answered. What is it? We don't pray. Okay? James 4:2, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Now, I mean, there's things here to tell you that I want you to understand this. Why don't you pray about certain things? Are they too trivial for God? You don't think he cares about these things? They're just too trivial, okay? I hope you realize that there's nothing trivial for God. You ask, you'll get it. Now, again, you might say, well, there's other things. I just don't believe God is concerned about them. Well, he is. Maybe another reason, I put this down here in my mind. Maybe one of the reasons we don't pray is because we don't care about other people. And so we just don't ever go to God's throne about them. Hopefully that's not it. But whatever reason is, that you think of a request, you see a need, and you know some prayer needs to be offered, whatever reason it is that you don't do it, please get it fixed and start doing it. Okay? Now, I know you may say, well, I just don't have time to pray. That's why I tried to give the sermon last week, Sweet Minute of Prayer. Folks, wherever you are, okay? Brian Hampton called me, was it Friday evening, okay? And we were in the car, and usually when we're in the car, my wife answers the phone, but we were on a four-lane road. And so my wife answered the phone, and then he said, was your husband available? Oh, yeah, he's available. He's just driving. So he passed me the phone, and he said, where are you driving? I said, I'm going down a four-lane road. It's really pretty empty. I said, I feel okay. I can talk to you or whatever. And he was like, are you sure? And I go, yeah. I said, you know, I'm going to be off this road in about 7 minutes. So you got 7 minutes, okay, or something like that. But, it's just that, you know, why wouldn't I talk to God when I'm in a car? I got plenty of time. I mean, if I can talk to Brian Hampton on the phone Friday evening, okay, I got time to talk to God when I'm in the car. Turn the radio down, start talking to God, okay? I don't know, maybe start timing yourself how long you're in the car, okay? And you might say, well, I'm never in the car by myself. Great, good time for group prayer. Am I right about that? Good time for some group prayer. Now, you don't have to pray the whole time you're gone, but, you know, hey, we got a couple minutes here, why don't we pray? So, again, one of the reasons we don't get it. Now, one of the things I noticed about this verse, and I'm going to say that I want to add this to it, we don't pray, to give you another angle from this, is there the words up there are ye. If you know this about the King James Bible, whenever you see ye, words that start with Y, we're talking about, I'm going to use a southern term, you all. It's you all of us, okay? When it starts with a T, like thy and thou, then it's what? You, just you. So as this is being written, he's not saying, just you, you're not praying. He's like, y'all aren't praying. And so I'm going to add to, and this could be like letter B underneath of it if you want, we don't pray, I don't pray, but we don't pray. Maybe the reason why your prayers aren't answered is you don't have people praying for you. You're not giving people your prayer requests. Well, people aren't, no, it doesn't matter how trivial it is. People want to hear your prayer requests. People want to pray for you. I give the story of Barbara West, folks. This is the best illustration I have. I can't get a better one. There was a little lady. She wasn't real big, not very big stature, whatever. Tony knows her, I think. But she went to Calvary Bible Church in Westport. She sat with Dot and Sam Green every Sunday morning. Okay, so you look back there on the right side, and there was Barbara West sitting with Dot and Sam Green. And one Sunday morning, Dot came in to me, and she said, have you heard from Barbara West? And I go, no. And she said, well, I called her every day this week and didn't get an answer. Drove by the house and, you know, nobody answered. So I didn't know if you know something. And I go, I don't know anything. And she goes, well, if you hear something, let me know. And I said, well, you keep calling. And if you hear something, you let me know. Okay. Next Sunday, Dot comes back. She goes, Pastor, Barb's dead. I'm like, what? She died. Wow. What happened? You know. She goes, yeah, well, I called her daughter. And she said, didn't know this, but about 2 weeks ago, okay, when the phone went dead, you know what I'm saying, Barb had an operation she was going through, and she went into the hospital, had the operation. Things went bad. For about a day or two, they had shipped her into a hospital room, but she was in intensive care. She didn't make it. It's like, I didn't know anything about this. She goes, well, I'm her best friend. I didn't know anything, you know. And I said, so where do we go from here? We go, oh, her daughters were mad at us because we didn't even come and visit her when she was in hospital. So they went and buried her. And they didn't want us there because they're mad at us because we didn't come and visit. I'm like, wow, I didn't know anything. I said, well, we'll make contact with them or whatever, okay, which we did. But I just tell people this. Now watch this. Please listen. Barbara died. As far as I know, nobody's praying for her. Nobody. Her best friend didn't know. Okay? Nobody prayed for her. Now watch. If you tell me, well, she probably would have died anyway, even if everybody wasn't praying for her. Do you not believe in prayer? I do. But I literally have an illustration of somebody who refused to tell everybody a request, and things didn't go well. I kind of made the statement to Dot, she'd probably still be with us if she'd have just told us. She'd still be here. Nobody was praying for her, and she died. Now, I'm just going to tell you, folks, you all, okay, you have not because what? You ask not. share your prayer requests. Now, again, if they're personal in nature, share them with some close friends. Share them with family members. But don't go it alone. Okay? Get your prayer requests out there. Okay? Folks, I'm as guilty as the rest of us. There are times I don't want people praying for certain things in my life or whatever. We're there. We're private people sometimes. Okay? Stop it. Get people praying for you. Get a circle that can pray for you. Ye have not, because what? Nobody's coming to the throne. Nobody's coming to the throne. Again, I put this down here. This sounds more of a selfish nature, but I don't want to get to heaven. I don't want to get to heaven and see all the things I missed out on. And I'm not talking about things, okay? You know, that's why I tried to keep the word things out of there. Just different opportunities and things that God would have done for us and things that, again, He would have provided and things that He would have worked in our lives. And I would have done this for you, but you have not. Why? Because you didn't ask. Sweet minute of prayer, folks. Keep increasing the minutes. Keep praying for people. I got to move on. We've got 8 of them. I keep doing this. Number 2, very obvious one. Very obvious reason why God doesn't in prayer, because there's unrepented and unconfessed sin in our life. Again, Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, does everybody know this? What is it? It does not say that the Lord won't answer me. What does it say? He doesn't hear me. Okay? When I prayed and opened the service, I kind of got an old an illustration I heard from a preacher one time. You know, sometimes when we pray in church, if we have unrepentant, unconfessed sin, our prayer requests are only going as far as the ceiling. Because on the other side of the ceiling, nobody hears them because the roof stopped them. And our prayer requests, that's all the further they got. Why? Because the Lord says, you're regarding iniquity in your heart. You're committing sin. Now, I know that we sin every day, but it's unrepentant and unconfessed sin. Okay? And we just say, it doesn't matter. I do. And you just keep doing it. That's not good at all. The verse that we had in the beginning of the service, did we not? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. Okay? And the righteous does not mean 100% perfect, you don't sin. It just means those that strive to do right. Okay? But the face of the Lord is against them that what? Do evil. They're against them that do evil. Even the Pharisees were schooled by a man that used to be blind, which means he probably never read a doctrine's book, probably never had a chance to read a scroll, but this man who was blind knew something. He looked at the Pharisees and said what? In John chapter 9, after his blindness was healed, he said to the Pharisees, now we know that God heareth not sinners. This is a blind beggar that Jesus healed, and all of a sudden when he was telling people, boy, I was healed, and boy, a man just healed me, and a wonderful man, he must be from God, and they were like, oh, he can't be from God. And wait a minute, we know that God doesn't hear sinners. So this guy's got to be more than that, all right? And so God hears and does for those, again, that keep the communication lines open there. Again, James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. Here it is, the effectual, fervent prayer of a what? Righteous man. Those who strive to do right availeth much. Okay? Again, be wise. Be smart. You need to share prayer requests? I'd share it with these kind of people. Wouldn't you? Boy, I want to share it with somebody who gets things done when it comes to prayer. I'm going to share it with people that seem to have some kind of firm grasp on the throne of God and getting things answered. Share it with them. You know? Share it with the church. We want to get things done. So again, if you have unrepentant or unconfessed sin, again, stop. Stop your evil ways. Stop your sin. Stop it. Okay? Confess it to God and walk righteous. Strive to do what you can for Him, the best you can. Walk in His will. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll do that. Let's move on to number 3 then, please. Another reason I believe that prayers don't get answers is, and I just use this term, you're not in the Word of God. Okay, now, I could have put study, I could have put reading, I could have put meditating, okay, and I could have put a lot of things. But again, Jesus said in John 15, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Get into the Word of God. Now, again, if we want God's will to be done on this earth, and we're not studying, we're not into His Word, and we don't know what He wants, how can we pray for what He wants? How can we know the kind of requests that we're to bring? So I do believe that And I encourage it here. You ought to have a devotion time every day in your life. And at least two things ought to be in it. What are they? Read the Bible and pray. Okay? Now, they go hand in hand. Okay? Is how it goes. You read the Bible and you pray. Now, if you want to sing in your devotion time, that's good. If you have family devotions and you want to sing a song while you're having them, that's great. Okay? But again, get into God's Word and pray. And again, as we do that, again, I've got some other verses here. We'll have to look one up in a minute. But Proverbs said, "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof." Okay? So you can see here that God is talking about people that won't listen to Him. We don't want to hear what you have to say. We're not going to read the Bible. Because if we read the Bible, we'll hear what God has to say. We don't want to hear it. And He says, you know what? You'll seek me. You'll not find me. No answer's coming. Okay? No answer's coming back. They didn't like knowledge. They didn't choose the fear of the Lord. Again, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not listening to what God has to say, your prayers aren't going to make it to heaven. I think we need to go over to Zechariah chapter 7, do we not? If you need to find Zechariah, it's not hard to find. You just find Malachi, which is the last book of the New Old Testament, and then you go one more book. Zechariah chapter 7, look at verse 11. Zechariah 7, 11. Notice Zechariah 7:11, "But they refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear." I like that physical thing. You ever try to get somebody's attention by maybe laying your hand on their shoulder? Hey, like, listen to me. And what do? I don't want to hear it. Pull that shoulder away. Okay? Again, that's what's going on in Zechariah 7:11. They pull away the shoulder. They stop their ears. They should not hear. Notice verse 12. "Yea, they made their hearts as adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the whole Lord of hosts." Verse 13. "Therefore it has come to pass that as He cried, and they would not hear." Now, that part means you have to go before verse 11. "But there were people who cried in their distress, and the people that Zechariah is preaching to wouldn't listen to them." It was widows. It was orphans. It was strangers. It was poor people. They were crying. They needed help. And you wouldn't help them. You wouldn't answer them. So Zechariah is saying, just like the people that you heard crying, you wouldn't answer them. He's saying, basically, "So I will not hear, saith the Lord of hosts." Hey, there were people crying for your help. And you said, you know what, we're not listening to you. We're not going to help you. Oh, the orphans, the widows, the strangers, again, aliens, if you want to put it that way. Okay? Those who are poor. And they're not listening. We don't want to hear it. And then all of a sudden, God says, okay, so when you get into your trouble and you cry to heaven, no answer. I'm not going to listen to you. You reap what you sow, do you not? And these people are about to learn that they're not going to get answers from heaven. Again, I just put down here, prayer is God's will done here. Okay? It's not our will be done. It's God's will. You need to get into the Bible and learn more about God. Okay? Learn what He wants, what He enjoys, what He delights in. Okay? And again, that'll direct your prayers in a new way, and you'll find out you'll have power with God. Again, let's be in the Word of God. Let's listen to what He has to say. And then when we pray, He'll hear us. Number four, we pray with the wrong motives. We pray with the wrong motives. Again, one verse here that you have to put in a point like this. Again, back to James 4. We were in James 4 early. "You have not because you ask not." But then he says right after that in verse 3, "But then you do ask." Okay? There's times you don't ask about anything, but then you finally ask, but you're not getting it. Why? Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Folks, can I just tell you, there are certain things that I know I'm not to pray for because they're what I want and they have nothing to do with God's will. They have nothing to do with God at all. And I'm just being absolutely selfish to pray for those things, okay? Now I know that you might say, "Oh, Pastor, you should pray for..." You know what? I know there's certain things that, you know, the only reason I want them is so I could show off. Anybody with me on that one? So I don't need it. Okay? I don't need it. You know, I mean, didn't hunting season start yesterday? Anybody get one? I didn't get out. Okay? Didn't it start yesterday? Dear Lord, I want the biggest buck anybody's ever seen because I want to show that thing off. Okay? And the Lord said, no, you just need a doe. You know, I'm not so sure the biggest buck we've ever seen is going to come my way because I just want to show it off, Lord. I just want to show everybody how great of a hunter I am. Okay? And God may bring that big buck by and I may shoot it, but then it's just to prove that, you know what? You kind of left me out of the everything. You prayed to me, I brought it by, and then for some reason you left me out of it. And you talked about how you were such a great hunter and everything. There are certain things. Don't pray about them because they're just not God's will. He's not going to answer them. They're just selfish. Again, over in Job, okay? There they cry, but none giveth answer because of the pride of what? Evil men. Just your pride. Trying to build yourself up there or whatever. I tell people, I love to pray before ball games, soccer games, basketball games. But folks, if they're praying over there and you're praying over here, well, how's that working? Oh, really, how's that working? Okay. I don't know how it works. Hey, it's okay to pray. We need safety. We need people on the field to glorify God, do we not? But the answer is not always we win, you lose. That's not always the answer. Okay. So that we understand that. So, again, sometimes we do that. And I just put down the question. You know, when I'm praying, is it all about me? Me, my, I, when it comes to my prayers. I hope that it's not, okay? And so I'm just going to put here, when you come before God's throne, check your motives. Check your motives. Again, is it all about the wrong motives and you want everything for yourself? Watch out, okay, what you're praying for. Let's move on. I think we're up to number 5 now. It's a big one. Failure to forgive others. Failure to forgive others. Now, folks, I don't need to tell you this, but the book of Luke says, and under Jesus' teaching, that in this world, offenses will come. People are going to hurt you, folks. People are going to say things that are going to hurt you. And I don't even want to say people. Sometimes we hurt each other with the things that we say. We do. Didn't mean to do it, but it happens. Okay? You know what? The problem is not that the offense happened. They happen. The problem is you won't forgive people. Failure to forgive. Literally, we need to make sure that we want to forgive people. Again, Mark chapter 11. Notice this Jesus thing. When ye stand praying, what's the very next word? Forgive. Forgive people. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. Folks, you want to get to heaven with your request and you want God to hear you? Give up on unforgiveness or bitterness. Just stop. Let it go. Okay? Let it go. And I know each one of us wants it, but you don't understand the situation I have, and you don't understand this. Folks, we've all been there, and I can say this, we pretty much understand. We've all been hurt by somebody. Somebody's done something to us, okay? You know what? Let it go. Just give it over to God and forgive them is what you need. Well, I tried to forgive them, but they wouldn't accept it. I tell people at this point in time, I'm not complicating things. Just forgive them, which means release it. Let it go, okay? What's the big thing? One of the seminars I went to at the KCA conference, the man said, have you ever got into self-talk? And I thought, that's just a neat way of saying talking to yourself. But he basically said, no, when you talk to yourself, you're bordering on insanity. We don't want to go there. Okay, but self-talk is just when you just talk to yourself. Do you ever just start talking to yourself? And he said, if you are ever self-talking, and you're self-talking about somebody who has hurt you, and your self-talk is bitter things and bad things about them, you need to get into forgiveness. If you catch yourself talking to yourself about, boy, I hope they wrecked their car today. You need to forgive people. You need to forgive them. Let it go, okay? So again, if you're praying and you know that there's somebody that's got something against you or somebody's done something to you and you just can't let it go, come on, forgive them. We've got to do that, okay? Again, Matthew 18, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Folks, I got to explain this verse. What is that, likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you? What's that? This verse comes after the parable about the man who owed a huge sum of money. And what did his Lord do? Forgave him. Then he went out and found a man who owed him a small sum of money. What did he do? Grabbed him by the throat, beat him up, and threw him into what? Prison. Story doesn't end there. How many of you think the story ends there? It doesn't. Word got back to the first Lord of what this guy did after he was forgiven. What did they then do to that guy? They went and grabbed him and did what? Threw him in jail. And that's what's happening here. If you won't forgive people their trespasses against you, then God's not forgiving you. Back in jail. And folks, when you're in jail, you're not free to receive anything. It's not coming. Okay? So again, well, this guy, I mean, somebody beat this guy up, threw him in jail, but he wouldn't forgive, couldn't forgive. Again, Mark 11, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have against any that your father's heaven, but you not forgive, neither will you forgive in heaven, forgive you. Is that a repeat of the verse we had before? Again, I like this about bitterness. Bitterness is harbored hate or hurt. Folks, if it's just down inside of you, you didn't forgive. You didn't forgive. Now, I know we can talk about forgiving and forgetting and all that, but again, I don't know. The words I just use is, you know, you can't forget something. I just refuse to be reminded of it. Just let it go. Okay? Just let it go. And go on like it didn't happen. So it's harbored hate or hurt. Yeah, I can remember what people did to me. I'm not that, I just can't get rid of it, but I'm just not going to dwell on it. No self-talk. Not going to go over it again. Bitterness is a poison you drink that you think is going to hurt the other person. Did you get that one? Yeah. You think, hey, if I drink this poison, I get bitter, then the other person is going to get hurt from it. You know what the problem is? You're running around dying, and they're enjoying life. Because you're the one that drank the poison. It's called bitterness. Please, don't do that, okay? Forgive people, okay? And I put this down. Bitterness is a big deal with God. You're in bitterness, He's not listening to you. It's a big deal to Him. He doesn't want to hear what you have to say. You're in the middle of bitterness. You need to let it go. Again, this one here. Now, and this is true. I got this the other day at the conference. You let a person hurt you the most when you can become bitter against them, and that hurts your relationship with God. Now they got you. Now they got you. Can I just put it this way? You'd be better that somebody smack you in the face than have this thing happen to you, that you lose your relationship with God. Okay? You'd be better that somebody stuck a knife in you than lose your relationship with God. And what happens is somebody, yeah, they slap us. And it hurt. But now the big hurt comes. You're bitter and you lose your relationship with God. Your ceiling is full of prayers because they're not going to heaven. So again, as I put this down here, don't let somebody hurt you this big. They may have slapped you, but they're not ruining your relationship with God because you're going to forgive them. Now, I know these are really easy words to preach. They're really what? Hard words to live. I understand that. Okay? I understand that. Because there are people that have done things to me, I'd rather just beat them up. I'd rather just beat them up, okay? God said, which reminds me this, if I could do this, okay? Again, how you handle the hurt determines your relationship with God. Yeah, they hurt me. What am I going to do about it? Okay? I'm going to forgive. Because here's the big thing that I want you to understand when it comes to bitterness or whatever, okay? Don't take God's job. Well, what is God's job? God said in Romans 12, I will repay, saith the Lord. Don't take His job. And when you take His job, He's upset. He's not listening to you. He's not forgiving your sins. Because you took His job. And His job is, I handle it. I know, because I think the same thing. But I don't ever see Him doing His job. It seems like the people that hurt me, they're living and having a good time, and God's not getting them back. It's okay. God will do His job. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will what? Don't take His job and be bitter and try to hurt these people, because you're really only hurting yourself. I've preached long enough on it. If you want me to preach any longer, I'll keep going. Did you get the point? One of the reasons we don't get our prayers answered is because what? We won't forgive people. We need to forgive people. Let's go on. I think we're on number 6. Uh-oh. Pastor, could you just go back to number five? Poor marriage relationship. Okay? Poor marriage relationship. Now, I'm going to say this on top. Ladies, maybe about this point in time, you can sit back because maybe this verse doesn't look like it's aimed at you. Because as I read this verse, it seems like it's aimed more towards who? Men than what? Women. Okay? Men, are you with me on this one? Because it says, likewise, then what's that next part? All of you husbands, dwell with them, that's the women, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. And I do know that it says this at the end of the verse, though. It doesn't say that thou or thy prayers, it says what? Your, and in the King James Version, when it has a Y, it means what? More than just you individually. So, wives, pay back attention now. Okay? If your husband in the marriage doesn't seem to be doing what he's supposed to be doing, your prayers may be in trouble. So it seems to me we need to work together here in marriage. Let's not blame it all on him. Let's not blame it on her. Let's work together in this marriage, because if our marriage relationships are not what they are, what they need to be, what God wants them to be, your prayers are going to be what? Hindered. Can I give you the biggest tool you need to raise children? Prayer. I'm convinced it's prayer. Okay, for the 101st time I'm going to say it. If somebody would say to me, Pastor, now that your children are out of the home, what would you have done better? And the answer was, I'd have prayed more. Not that I didn't already pray a lot, but I'd have prayed more. And I think that my grandchildren, okay, have this going for them, because I now pray more for my grandchildren than I maybe did for my kids, because I understand prayer. And I don't want to find out that, again, one of the biggest parenting techniques I have, one of the biggest parenting things available to me, is my prayer life, and my prayers aren't being hindered because my marriage relationship is what? What's the word at the top of the screen? Poor. Okay? Don't want that. Now, I know you're saying, Pastor, move on. I'm not moving on. Okay? We got to have good marriages. It's of utmost importance. Okay? Okay? I don't know. I know sometimes, like somebody said to a pastor one time, well, Pastor, you don't know my wife. And he goes, well, was she like that when you married her? No. Well, then look what you turned her into be. She was fine before she met you. You know? So I just, you know, work on your marriage relationship. We've really got to work on it. Okay? Again, what does a marriage need? A marriage needs, okay, good partners. I mean, a good marriage means being the right married partner. It's on you. Make this thing work. Okay? And I mean work. Work at it, okay? Now, I've not been married as long as some of you. Boy, we got a number of 50-year people in here. I know my parents are over 60 now. Others may be there. I mean, we got some people who have been married longer than me, though. My number's getting up there, okay? I'm getting up there. But, again, it's all about being the right partner. And, folks, can I tell you something? I can really send my house into a tizzy when I'm not the right married partner. I really can. I mean, you can come in my house and it's hot. And I caused it. Because I wasn't the right marriage partner. I know. And I tell you this, but it was just, I think it was 3 days ago. My wife says, I don't know what's going on. But you're just not playing right. And she knew it. And I was. I was bugged about something. I was just not being nice. Anybody been there? I'm the only one that does that. Right, men? Right, women? Am I the only one that does it? Okay. Okay. Be the right partner. If you're saying, well, what is it? I don't need to preach on it. You know. You know how to be the right partner. Okay? We'll give you Bible verses if you need it, but you know what it takes to be the right partner. Please do that. Okay? Be the right partner. Okay? Now watch this. Men. The verse we just read, dwell with them according to knowledge. All right? Now I'm going to lay it on you here. Okay? You're supposed to dwell with them according to knowledge. If you walk in your house and you know something's wrong, and you don't know what it is, learn. Dwell with them according to what? Knowledge. Okay? You know, now I know we have our cliches. You know, you say, well, honey, what's wrong? If you have to ask. If you even have to ask. Okay? And again, I can preach at men. I don't preach at women quite as well. But I'm preaching at men. When it says, dwell with them according to knowledge, okay? Do it. Learn what she likes, doesn't like. You know, learn. It's up to you, okay? Make sure you're dwelling with them according to knowledge. So, again, if things aren't going well, and you're like, I have no idea what's going on, learn it. Find out somehow. And if she won't tell you, just pay attention a little bit or something, okay? Dwell with them according to knowledge, okay? Because basically, we want to be heirs together, the grace of life, that our prayers be not what? Hindered, okay? That your prayers be not hindered. Again, but here's what happens. But you say, well, but women change. That's right. Got that one. Okay? Women change. Now watch this. I'm going to go after the men again. Not going after women. Women do change. Okay? Hey, men, keep up. Keep up. I got to thinking about this, okay? Thought about when my wife and I got married. I think we got married back in 1979. Somebody talked to me about all the things that have changed in this world since 1979. All the things that have changed since 1979. Now watch this. For most parts, and I'm not great with everything, but for most parts, I've kept up. Am I right about that? I have kept up with changes that have taken place in this world. Because if you're talking to me in 79 about technologies and things and even cars and all that kind of stuff or whatever, folks, you know, look at the cars we drove back in 1979. You go to people nowadays and go three on the tree. Kids don't even know what three on the tree means. Okay? It was one of two things back then. It was three on the tree or four on the floor. Everybody with me? Some of you are still looking at me like, what are we talking about? Okay? Folks, but I've kept up. I've kept up. We now, and some of you are driving cars, you have automatics that you now shift. That's crazy. But you've kept up. You know how to use them, don't you? You know how to use yours, don't you? Oh, yeah. Okay. What do you got? 7 or 8 gears in that thing? What? He's got 8 gears in that thing. An automatic with 8 gears. Come on, folks. Automatics only had how many when we were kids? 3 gears. Then they added the thing called overdrive. Okay? Now we got 8 gears. But, folks, we know how to push that button and make that thing peel and make that thing shift because we kept up with changing times. Am I right about it, men? Hey, I'm not the greatest technological guy with computers and all that, but, boy, I've got a cell phone and, you know, it's only a 3, but I'm doing some pretty good things with it now. I really am doing some pretty good things with my cell phone. All right? I'm keeping up. Times change, you keep up. Okay, back to the same thing. But my wife has changed. Keep up. Dwell with her according to what? Knowledge. That you be heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not what? Hindered. Okay? Hindered. I'm kind of glad my wife is not the same, you know, what is it, 22-year-old that I married her. I'm glad she's not the same 22-year-old, okay? Because she's learned a lot of things, matured up, knows how to take care of me better than that. And you know, I was listening to somebody the other day, I was just laughing or whatever, just laughing. But you know what? When my wife and I go somewhere and all of a sudden I feel sick, she's got something in that pocketbook to take care of it. Okay? Back when we were 22, if I felt sick, she don't have nothing. But now she's learned to stock the pocketbook. And if I get sick, she knows what to do, okay? Folks, dating some 22-year-old and I feel sick, they don't have anything. They don't know what to do with me. She does, okay? So again, folks, we laugh about it, but a poor marriage relationship will hurt your what? Prayers. Go home. Have a sit-down. Put things back together. Be the marriage partner you need to be. I put this up here. You know what? If you're just a man and you're callous, male callousness equals spiritual powerlessness. Well, I don't have any power in my prayers. Yeah, because you know what? You just don't care about your marriage. You don't care. You're not worried about her. She'll be okay. Just get over it. That's all she needs to do. She just needs to get over it. You're callous, and you're powerless. You're powerless. You have no prayers going to be answered. I preached on it long enough. I think you get it, do you not? Come on, husbands, wives, let's get back to work on our relationships, that your prayers be answered. They need to be answered, do they not? Let's move on. I talked about this just the other day, again, when I was in the book of Matthew, and I talked about vain and unthinking repetition to our prayers is what it is. Okay, we got to make sure that we've got some things here. Come on, let's go. I know I got more on the thing. Matthew 6:7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Again, I just go this. I hit on this real quick, and then I move away from it, okay? But if you're saying, if you pray the same prayer day after day after day after day, and you don't even change the vocabulary in it, stop it. Okay? Just refuse to use the same language you used yesterday. Okay? Just, you gotta say it differently. Okay? Or you gotta come at it from a different angle. Okay? And I guarantee you that maybe you've been asked to pray for lunch, you know, and you use the same lunch prayer every day. Okay? Now, when our children are little, it's okay before they go to bed to say what? Now I lay me down to sleep. And it's okay if they say it again tomorrow night. And it's okay if they say it again the next night. It's okay. But somewhere along the line, when they're about, give me an age, I don't know, it's time to start saying, now, we're going to start praying a little bit different. Okay? So don't you use the same prayer that you use time and time and time again. Get a little different here. And again, watch out just unthinking prayers. And that's what I'm thinking about. Not so much vain repetition. Just, I prayed and, you know, well, in our house, we haven't done it with no kids around. If we ever prayed for a meal and then right after that somebody said, Ed, did we pray? Yeah, we did, but now you're going to pray again. Okay? Because it didn't do you any good. Where were you when we were praying? Okay? So we would usually do that or whatever. Just say, oh, if you didn't hear it, you thought we didn't do it, well, it didn't do you any good. But again, just put some thought into it. You're talking to God. You don't talk to the people, you know. What if somebody came up to you every day and said the same thing in conversation to you? Okay? Now, when we get older, it does happen. Okay? I'm right about that. It happens. But what do we think after a while? Come on. Change the subject. Talk about something different. Okay? Okay, vain or unthinking. Again, what's it say in Ecclesiastes? Be not rash with thy mouth. I know this is for other things. But let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you're saying. Okay? Don't just run off. Okay? Make sure you do that. Okay? So I just kind of put up here, I just put this way. How often do we pray the same prayer without thinking? We just didn't think about it. Okay? Okay, we need to put some prayer time into it then. Let's go on number 8. About done here. Again, this kind of goes along with what was read earlier. You got to have faith. I believe that we don't have faith. We don't really believe God's going to answer. Okay? And again, I don't want to be up here and just act like I'm a Sunday school teacher and I got to give all the Sunday school answers, okay, that we're asked. Folks, there are times when people have asked me to pray for something and I'm like, what? What's the use? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. I've done it. You ever done it? Why pray? Not going to happen. Okay? And I've used different illustrations where I've been caught thinking, all right, but it ain't going to happen. And then God's just like, you know what? Gilboa needs taught a lesson down there. And even though he prayed in unbelief, God did it. And I was like, wow, God. And you talk about being rebuked. Okay? You got to believe that God can do it. Okay? Again, Hebrews 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who what? Diligently seek him. You know what, God? I believe you can do this. Okay? I know you can. And put some prayer with faith. Get some faith on that prayer is what we need to have. Again, Matthew chapter 17. Jesus on it because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Again, this verse came after. Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Great things are happening up there. The disciples are down here, and they're trying to heal a man's son, and they couldn't do it. And they came to Jesus and basically said, how come you did it and we couldn't? And his answer is what? Because you didn't believe you could. You really didn't believe you could do it. And he says there, you know what? You can do greater things than this, but you got to believe it. You can move mountains. And I literally tell people, I don't need physical mountains moved, but there's other mountains in my life that need to be moved. There's mountains in other people's lives I'd like to see get moved. And then maybe they'd hear the gospel and be able to get saved. Again, I think these were read to us by Mike. Jesus answers them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to this fig tree, but also you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Again, 8 things that can hinder our prayers. Now, maybe you can think of something else. If you do, then make it 9 things, and we'll come back at whatever. But again, I want to get the lines open to heaven because here's the whole thing. I want to see what God can do. When my life is to the point where he hears what I'm saying And still, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, not because I merit anything, I still want to see what God can do. What God can do if we just start asking Him, believing, our sins cleared, our marriage relationships were great, we're praying, thinking prayers. Again, all these things. And we all of a sudden run off a prayer to heaven, and that what happens? It's answered. In fact, I'd like to end with this. If you get your life completely to the place where God can hear, sometimes He even answers what? Before we ask. That's what's good. That's really good. Father, I pray You would help us, Lord, to realize that there's sometimes that we pray and our prayers don't get to Your ear. And it's our fault, because You have made it so possible for the way to be open, because You sent Jesus down here to die for our sins. And again, He's the intercessor. He's opened the way to Your throne. And Lord, then we don't use it because of our selfish ways, our foolish ways, our ungodly ways. Lord, I pray as we leave this place that anything that we've done wrong, we'll confess it. Lord, we'll get our lives in the place where as soon as we talk, You hear. And Lord, I pray that You'll be faithful and answer that which we've brought before You. So the Lord, that again, You will be glorified, Christians will be strengthened, souls will be saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.